Petty John, Senator Mulcahy, and myself. And Senator Mulcahy has a Finance Committee meeting, so he'll be excused. But we'll take testimony on Senate Bill 241, relating to creation of Alaska Boxing Commission. Representative Martin, you want to start it off?
Thank you, Senator Larson, for this hearing on the boxing bill. I don't know if you realize that it's an anchor of a controversial issue.
I'll cut one of them in there, please, yeah. I don't want to give the witness the one without the switch. Every time.
Yeah, my apologies.
Thank you, Senator Petty John. Senator, this issue has been around in Alaska, especially in Anchorage, for quite some time. And after the Anchorage citizens began getting quite upset about the type of boxing being performed in Anchorage, I and some others who were in the boxing profession decided to do something about it. Traditionally, being out of state, it's these kind of headlines that we were subjected to in Anchorage. That's incredible. And it's what one of the reporters who over a series of 2 years listed the kind of boxing promotion that was being done in Anchorage by so-called professional people who had hardly any experience whatsoever. Another headline is that the beware of the Anchorage fighting tradition, which was really show how phony boxing in Anchorage was with people who would have basically street fights and then they were considered as professional fighters or promoted as such. Getting to the bill, this began with the grassroots effort in the Anchorage area of the people I know for 18 years that was involved in boxing as amateurs and as youth developers, and who wrote somewhat in the semi-pro matter, and who felt that we really needed to clean the situation up. A few years ago, Governor Hammond, on his own, sent an executive order that took the Boxing Commission out of the executive office and put it in the Department of Commerce and Economics. Very few people knew of that until after the event. He said what would follow was an executive order that the legislators would have the right to vote on, but that never came through. In the meantime, the department was charged, and I knew many times they were quite concerned without legally being responsible. They were given licensing and okay in so-called professional matches. In any case, many people became interested even after that fact and said, if we're going to have good professional boxing in Alaska, we need to clean the industry up. The bill that's before you now, I think that the Senate took the original version from the House and compared that with the final bill that went over from the House. And I think that the Senate added provisions in it that make it a very good bill, because what the House sent over so was very weak. The only changes I see, one of the major changes that they allowed the committee to go to 1988, the House said 1986, and I felt that maybe a more conservative point would be to let's see how it works for 2 years and give it a sunset there, and that allow a new legislative body to evaluate it. 4 years may be stretching it, but I wouldn't get hung up on that, not to pass the bill anyway. The new fees that they have on page four are good, because I believe here it shows that the Boxing Commission can fund itself, that it does not need to state appropriations to more or less subsidize what might be considered a private industry or a private affair. The only part I have a little concern with is at the bottom of page four. And I don't know if we talk about false advertisement enough here. And that's been one of the major problems in Anchorage. In December, we had a so-called professional boxing match and two top quality national contenders and so on. And the advertisement showed this guy had 9 professional fights and won 7 with knockout and lost 1 and the other guy did whatever he did. After the fight, the very next day, the fighter from Kodiak admitted he only had 1 fight. He didn't even see the advertisement. Yes, he was shocked as to how great they said he was. You know, and he lost, he wasn't even in shape. But his point was that he had a personal commitment. It's been so long since he's been in the ring, and he felt that he had to personally somehow get through a complete fight. for his self-satisfaction, and so this gave him the opportunity. Never cared about what the promoters promoted him to add, it didn't matter. But here again, the people were cheated. And we have another section that might cover that, and hopefully the commission, since they now have 14 days to evaluate these fighters and see if what they say about themselves or what the promoters say about themselves is true. In section 25, sir, in line subsection 5, a substitute contender, I don't mind, that's a new provision that the Senate put in, and I don't mind that, but I think that the public needs to be protected. Somehow ever, a notification needs to be given to the citizens. We've had it in Anchorage where they promised Muhammad Ali, you know, and up to the last minute, here you go, Muhammad Ali, see him boxed. Then right before the match starts, they say, well, we're sorry, Muhammad couldn't show up, but we got Suzy Wong for you. And they said, well, you can get your money back if you want to, but that's a little after the case. I do think that we need to say that the public must be notified within 24 hours. That will protect the public's interest. There's no doubt at that time there's sincere reasons why you need to get a substitute, and maybe the public wouldn't mind a good substitute. But I think they should be notified when this happens. And certainly no last-minute substitute, you know, 5 minutes before the battle. That's going too far. Well, they have the public's money. Otherwise, I really think it's got to be a good bill, a meaningful bill, and hopefully this will be a big step forward in making sure that in Alaska we have good quality boxing professional fights, and no more will we allow the stands to be perpetrated upon the people that have been done over the past 5 years.
Thank you, Representative Mark. Could you refer to the section which deals with the sunset?
That's on page 1, sir. In the House bill, it was on the last page, but on page 1, it's more logical place for it.
Okay.
Page 1, line 13.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, 14.
Thank you. Representative Martin, I have a couple of questions for you. Have you seen the fiscal note on this bill?
No, I haven't. The only thing that pertains to money here is the fees being charged. I do know that there is $25,000 that was put in one of the capital appropriation bills.
For what?
For the Boxing Commission. That's before the governor now.
Well, the fiscal note that we have here states that 1984 would cost $57,600. And the revenue would be $1,100. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, that's what I say, sir. If you want a professional boxing in this state, let it pay its own way. I don't see why. We never had to give money to it before when it was under the governor's office. If the commerce and economics feel that they need to have a full-time staff there for whatever reasons, it's kind of going beyond what a voluntary commission in the past has done.
Yeah.
And the commission has worked very well for about 15 years. It works very well. The commission began failing under Governor Hammond when he began appointing people that had no knowledge whatsoever of boxing. That's when it started to fail. If there's any money involved, that commission can make its own money like they did before.
Well, I take it you weren't satisfied with the way the commission's operating before. Do you think maybe
it was satisfactory?
Might have something to do with it?
No, sir. It was satisfactory up until 1978, I believe it was. And that's when you had two people promoted for pure political reason that had no boxing knowledge. And some of them are friends. Some of them know baseball very well. Some of them know basketball. One was a basketball coach at UAA. But he knew nothing about boxing. Another guy promoted himself as an architect of sports facilities. It had nothing to do with the game of boxing. That's when things really fell apart. That individual, the large one, that was pointed out of state now, no one had any idea what he did with the money, where it went, or who he gave licenses to, or what.
Well, the fiscal note does say that they would need a licensing examiner. Would you agree or disagree that they would need a licensing examiner? Under this bill, as it presently sits before us, we call for the licensing of attendants, physicians, managers, promoters, referees, judges, timekeepers. All these people are going to need a license. Do you think it's necessary to have somebody review and examine these applications? Or do you think that can just be done on a voluntary basis?
It succeeded pretty well on a voluntary basis in the past. Until you began putting people in there that had no knowledge.
Well, it sounds to me, Mr. Martin, Representative Martin, if I can be so bold, is that you're telling me, what I hear from you, is that what we really need are some people on the commission who are going to do a good job the way you said it worked before 1978. And that we don't need to spend this $57,000 a year and have this elaborate apparatus. All we need is good people who are willing to put in a little time to make the system function.
I kind of saying that. Why the Governor Hammond switches to commerce and economics is unbeknown to anyone. It never came out in the legislature. All we saw was a letter, a handwritten letter, saying he would do it. And the speculation he was doing it for one or two promoters. But that's only a guessing game.
1978?
That was when he was alive. 77? When was that done? No, 80. 1980 was it? 1980.
Well, you know, Mr. Representative Martin, I have to be candid with you. I really feel that I don't know what's your personal experience in the boxing world. Do you have any? Have you ever been involved in any manner in boxing?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, my only personal experience was in operation of the Boys Club of Alaska. We had a lot of good men that believed in boxing and used it in such a way as building good character of youth. And at the Boys Club Director, we did promote some very good boys' nights and stuff like that in boxing. And not down in a good vehicle and helping students who were perhaps a little ahead of attend that time to defend themselves when they should. I didn't mind it in that way at all. But a lot of these same people who helped us in the Boys Club also worked with the so-called professional boxing. They would do the timing, they would do the refereeing, they were on the commission itself at that time in the mid-70s and all. So I knew that whole group from how they helped us in Boys Club and knowing what they did in their other three and three of time.
I guess the other area that I would have questions for you, Representative Martin, would be in the portions of the bill which I guess you would call them consumer protection areas where we're setting out specific provisions which presumably are for the protection of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Notice of cancellation,
yes.
Post-contest report, this kind of stuff. And we're taking boxing and setting up a commission just for boxing. So this commission would not regulate professional basketball. We have pro basketball teams come in. And I think we've had some pro hockey teams in Alaska. I think there's professional soccer that came up. We've had, trying to think of any other professional sporting events which Alaska has had. With the Sullivan Arena in Anchorage, I imagine we'll see more and more professional events scheduled in not just boxing, but I imagine wrestling. Seems to be popular. Roller derby is another big item in some parts of the country. And I wondered, why is it necessary to take boxing and make it subject to a lot of public protection of restrictions as opposed to other events? I mean, if we're going to have Gorgeous George or one of the great wrestling names in America today, I'm not familiar with him myself. I see him on TV occasionally for about 3 seconds before I can switch the channel. But or if we get a roller derby operation going up here, why should the public be protected any less or in most areas?
It's coming. It's a good consideration, yes. I guess basically, from my point of view, is that number one, if we're doing the law and the territorial legislators used to have it, then we copy the law from the state of Washington once we became a state. And there was no upgrading of the commission or the law since that time. even though Washington has twice during that period of 1960 to 80 upgraded their laws twice. The people have demanded in the past, as the articles will say here, investigations of wrongdoings and promoting of fighting, or the other scams that were here, demand for the people to make boxing a little more safer, demand of the people when Edgar began his barroom fights, and people there, and that came from the military, first time I never went to see any of them, but military people who I represent were concerned. And the officer says, hey, look, we tell our guys we don't put them in those fights because we're responsible if one of them gets knocked out, one of them has an injury, one of them has what. But what's protecting us from the state? We can't have people in those barrooms all the time taking military people out. So the response came from grassroots. The response came, the reason why, also because the people who have been in Boston have been there for 16, 18 years. So that we need to do something to clean this up. Well, I image is going to really suffer in the state. If those people, I wouldn't care to get their public name out because you know as well as I do, and Mr. McConkie knows very well too. But they'll come out. Then they came to the public meeting. No, they came to public meetings when we had them up in Anchorage last year. Nothing anonymous about them at all.
I just curious why they wouldn't give their name.
No, I don't care at public meetings, but they came to public meetings on their own. I think the testimony that Senator Fisher had, they were more than glad to express their feelings as to what's happening in boxing in Alaska.
I guess we must have different constituencies, Representative Martin. Of course, you have a little seniority on it, but I've never received any complaints about boxing, not one. But I guess we just left represent different parts of town.
I don't know what your relationship, Senator, had been with boxing, but it was my understanding that you had a part interest in one of the taverns that used to have the outlaw boxing, they call it, something like that. Okay, and that's where a lot of the complaints came from, about the smoking facilities and so on. So perhaps those same people who were concerned about the conditions under which they were boxing wouldn't go to you when they thought that you owned a restaurant or tavern or whatever it was.
But for the record, I did sell my interest in that facility in 1981. Since then, I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe that they won't have boxes.
That's the first time I knew, Mr. Chairman, that you were involved at all. And when the people told me, they knew that you were involved in the license or something. But, and they do live in your area that you represent, sir.
Well, I'll put your name and talk to them.
Be glad to let you have it.
We'll arrange a match between you two.
In fairness, though, I think that if you look at your backup material there, I think Representative Milo Fritz, Dr. Fritz said, when you're comparing, you know, hockey or basketball, it's really not appropriate this particular sport. He says, in effect, that boxing is the only sport where the whole object is to inflict bodily injury on your opponent.
Period.
That pretty well sums up boxing.
Well, sometimes boxing is like that.
Sometimes hockey might appear to be.
Appearances can be deceiving. I think in terms of death, though, that there's more people who die playing baseball every year in this country than boxing.
There's probably a lot more baseball players than our boxers.
That's true.
But my district. Any further questions? You want to get in this fight?
Well, in short, Mr. Chairman, I think it's a real good committee substitute that the Senate has worked out.
I have one further question, Representative Martin. There's three different options that the Budget Audit Committee report recommended. One of them, of course, is to repeal her. What would be your your testimony to repeal her, as an example?
Mr. Chairman, that's a fair question. I thought of it quite often, especially when certain people who said that we are promoters and we want the state to keep their nose out of our business. We'll take care of our own problems. Well, that might be nice, but eventually, whether we like it or not, it seems like that the state and or the city or whoever gets involved because the people say, hey, you know, we didn't realize that these promoters were promoting someone that wasn't really a boxer. We didn't realize what a lousy match it was going to be. This guy was supposed to have 15 professional fights, and then afterwards, he tells us he's never been in the ring, you know, after he gets knocked out the first time. There's all kinds of scams here that the people have talked about. The title is very true. That's incredible, boxing in Anchorage. So somehow or other, the state is going to be, the city's going to be involved, someone's going to be involved, the people are going to demand. If you scrape them all, at least the state won't have a liability factor. And that's why I think of some of the promoters, they want them all there, and they want the state to be responsible, but they don't want the state to have any input on it. We want you because we want that liability protection. But stay off otherwise. So I think somehow or other we're going to have a law.
Thank you. We'll go to Anchorage for testimony from Joe Armstrong or Bill McConkey.
Who do you want first?
Well,
my name is Joe Armstrong. I'm the chairman of the National Aid Commission at the present time. And have been for several months. And I have been attending all of the boxing matches that have been held in Anchorage. And I have seen to it that the people who were supposed to be licensed were licensed. I've attended the examination of the fighters and also, as I said, the matches. I was down in Juneau about in February, I think it was about the 10th, and I met with Representative Primus Martin, a representative from Josephson's office, Senator Josephson, Harry Traeger from the Department of Occupational Licensing, Carol Durkner from the governor's office. And then Senator Josephson did come in at the end of the meeting. We took two bills that were on the table and attempted to put together a bill that we thought everybody could live with. It's just my opinion that boxing does need to be regulated by the state to protect the state from any types of lawsuits and so forth. It did come out in a legislative report some months ago that the Attorney General's opinion was that without a commission and a law, the state could be liable for any accidents that might happen in the ring. I read this bill over several times, and I find I don't find any place in here, and the $57,000 kind of shocked me. I didn't know that there was that much money around for the boxing. I think that that's sort of inflated quite a bit. Probably the first year that this boxing commission would be in effect would probably need some money for meetings and that type of thing to get regulations. However, the Alaska Boxing Association with Mr. McConkey, and I believe you too, Senator Pettijohn, are involved in that boxing commission, association. So I don't think there's $57,000 needed, but I think there's some amount of money needed to hold some meetings and get some rules and regulations adopted that are not in this bill on how boxing matches are performed, the size of gloves, weights, and the Alaska Boxing Association has developed a set of those, and I've read those over very carefully. And they seem to be, as far as I'm concerned, fairly adequate. There might be some questions about some of it, but I think that their rules and regulations that they have are pretty adequate if they're followed. Now, I saw that fight that Representative Mark was talking about, and it was pretty brutal. I'm not putting any blame on anybody, but the people were pretty unhappy by throwing beer cups in the ring and that type of thing, but that could happen even just because they didn't like the way it was going. So I don't know. I think the bill that has been developed, the committee substitute for the House Bill 241, is adequate. To start with, I only had a couple of comments on it. I would prefer myself, under line 28 on the first page, to have two members of the public, and on the line 29, first page, two members of the boxing profession. I'm concerned what the legislative intent is regarding the boxing profession members. Does that mean fighters actively fighting? Does that mean promoters who are actively promoting? Or does that mean people who have been involved in boxing? That's one question that came to my mind regarding that part of the commission. As I said, I prefer two and two there. The other question I had was that this commission could be a controversial commission, at least in the beginning. And I would prefer that rather than have the commission select the chairman, I think that the chairman should be selected by the governor. Those are the only two comments I have at this time. I endorse the bill as it's written, the committee substitute for House Bill 241.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions by the committee?
Just one, Mr. Chairman.
Turn your eye.
Joe, are you looking at the Senate committee substitute stated 3884? Is that the draft you're working off?
I don't have a date on it. I'm looking at Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 241, Labor and Commerce.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's what we're working with here.
I have about four of them here, and I just got this one in the mail the other day from Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Joe. Any further questions? Bill, do you care to testify?
Yes, sir. Am I on?
You're on.
You're on. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to testify. I guess you can say I have a lot to do with professional boxing in this state. The 4800 Corporation, which is a corporation that I'm the majority stockholder in, owns a promoter's license and is currently promoting boxing matches at the Sheraton Hotel, scheduled to have 7 fights this year. 4800 Corporation also does a lot of work for Gucci, or the Last Frontier Events, and having their boxing promotion. I'm a licensed referee by the state of Alaska, a referee at about 1,000 fights. I just got back from Japan, where I was judging a world title fight for the World Boxing Association. And in spite of the fact that I'm 41 years old, I'm still boxing myself. So I do know a little bit about professional boxing. I would like to state, because I think it's important, because there's something that's been said today that just doesn't make any sense, and so I'm going to state this. And since May of 1981, since May 1st, 1981, I've been in the ring for 1,000 fights in this community, in this state, matter of fact, all over the state, and I've looked at it in the audience. Representative Martin has never attended a single fight that I've been to. The citizens that are quite upset basically consist of one or two of Terry's fans from the boy club, mostly a gentleman by the name of Bill Davenport. If the committee would please take a look at the testimony which has been given in public hearing, you will find no upset citizenry demanding state interference in professional boxing. There's no grassroots effort movement up here for the state of Alaska to spend a lot of money, time, and effort regulating this particular piece of private enterprise. There happens to be an internal thing between perhaps Mr. Davenport and Mr. Martin that he would like to explain at some other time. But there's been no grassroots screaming for any type of boxing activity. Quite the contrary, the public hearings, the fans, the boxers, the promoters, the officials, and the referees have said that we will regulate ourselves. At public testimony here, we provided ample opportunity of how we're regulating ourselves to the best of our ability. Representative Martin made the statement that the commission worked fine for 15 years. Well, in 15 years, the commission never passed a set of rules or regulations to govern boxing in this state. Alaska Boxing Association, which is a group of officials and boxers, got together and worked out one in about a month. And after it was passed around for public comment for all the people involved in boxing, and they sent the comments back, and it was sent again. The state never did anything, and now all of a sudden, for some reason, this invisible, make-believe outcry of public concern, now we've got all the expense of these testimonies in this bill, and it just doesn't exist. Also, contrary to Representative Martin's allegation, as an active promoter, we do not want the state's protection. We do not want state involvement. I don't need the state's liability to protect me at all. I buy a very expensive insurance policy for every fight that I hold. It covers the liability of my firm, it covers the liability of the hotel, and it offers medical insurance, death insurance, dismemberment insurance, and all kinds of insurance. Hospital and medical and survivors for the fighters. And that was, and we do that, by the way, without the state telling us we have to. I also want us to stress that my comments are in no way to be interpreted as a criticism of Joe Armstrong and the job that he is doing as the athletic commissioner up here. He and Jay Caldwell, cooperative, helpful, a couple of great guys. I like them very much. It has nothing to do, and none of my comments are aimed at them. I also know that for the last two or three years, we've had some real interest in the part of Barry Traeger and other people in jail, and just absolutely just repealing the state's role in this. And that's obviously the role that we feel here, that it is the best. Professional boxing is a profession. It's not an amateur sport. It's not a university sport. It's not a boys club activity. It's a group of mature young men. 41, still being young, to group mature young men who decide to risk their personal safety in physical combat with another gentleman in return for money. It's a profession. It is not nearly as dangerous as almost any other profession that you could name. There are more farmers, the most dangerous profession in the United States, by the way, is being president of the United States. And if you want to compare the danger of being a professional boxer with being an Alaskan fisherman, there's no comparison. This is a profession freely entered into and freely chosen by adult people. As far as the consuming public, it is entertainment. They buy tickets to it the same way they buy tickets to basketball games or the movie theater or to a dance. They come and they hope to be entertained and see a good fight. Now, to the bill itself, I don't want to hope that my testimony on the specifics of the bill infers my favor of the entire approach. I'm opposed to the whole approach. I don't believe that government involvement the state will have a lot better things to do than mess around with professional boxing. But if we're going to do it, I will run through it very quickly, if I might. On page 1, line 22, I would like to see the word professional inserted in front of the word boxing. So the members of the commission would serve at the pleasure of the governor and be selected on their contribution and knowledge of professional boxing. It is entirely different than amateur boxing. In fact, it sometimes is some degree of inter-turf jealousy between those active in amateur boxing and professional boxing. If you had a lot of amateur boxing officials on a professional boxing board, professional boxing would suffer because of it. On page 2, the state, this has to do with lines 19 through 23. No promoter, whether it's myself or Last Frontier or anybody else that I could know of, thinks the state has any business in establishing the fees paid between private citizens. Why does the state need to be involved in determining what I as a promoter is going to pay a judge? And although this provides for the waiver of the fees, if the commission publishes a list of fees, I'm not going to have a very good chance of getting them waived. Most of the guys now will be glad to come and do it in return for a free pass for them and their wives or their sons or whatever. The state's got no business involved in establishing what those fees might be. The private sector and the market will take care of that. On page 3, having to do with designated representatives, line 8 and 9, to substitute for a commissioner unable to supervise a contest in the commissioner's area.
That leads me to believe the commissions will be appointed on a geographical basis, and I certainly hope that that's not the case. If we're going to appoint one, let's say one from Southeast, and one from Fairbanks, and one from Anchorage, and one from the Bush, and maybe one from Seattle, or one from somewhere else, when 95% of the boxing matches and the boxing activity takes place right here in South Central. There's two fights a week going on in Anchorage right now, plus once a month, so we're having nine fights a month right here in Anchorage. I'm only aware of one that goes on in Fairbanks occasionally, and the only ones I'm aware of in Juneau the last couple of years were the ones that I brought down there. And the same thing in Sitka, so the geographical distribution of commissioners concerns me. The next section, 0815060, is extremely important and dangerous to any promoter or boxer, because the contest may not be held without the attendance and supervision of the commissioner designated representative. Well, if I tell the commissioner 2 weeks in advance there's going to be a fight, and he knows it, and he forgets and doesn't show up, and I've got 850 people sitting in there, the fighters all sweaty, and the doctors are there, and the ambulance is standing by, everybody wants to see a fight, I can't hold it because the commissioner forgot to show up. Or if the commissioner's out of town, he's appointed a designated representative, and he forgot to show up, or was sick, or just didn't bother to come, or decided he was mad and didn't want to show up, then I sit with all that money and all those people ready to box and those fans ready to be entertained, I can't hold a fight. But then, you know, as long as the commission has been informed of the fight, and they have the opportunity to be there, and we give them free tickets, that's good enough. If they don't show up, we shouldn't be penalized for that. On the provision of officials, the next section, I will change the wording. I think it's fine if the commission shall maintain a list of qualified contest officials. That should include the referees and attending physicians. It doesn't need to include timekeepers and judges, in my opinion. And then the promoter should and must be required to select from that list the attending physician, the referee. The reason that the difference is important is the promoter could, the commissioner could be chilling with a referee at Juneau. I'm holding a fight in Anchorage and I have to fly him up here. That's who he told me to get. Well, there would go $350, $400 expenses, and that's more money than I made my most of my fights. That's more profit than we make at all of our fights. So I think the promoter should be able to select from a list which is put together by the commission. On line 27, 28, 29 on page 3, having to do with the meetings of the commission, it says at least one commissioner who's not in the profession must be in attendance of the meeting in which official action is taken. Well, that is a discriminatory clause. It states that one commissioner is more important than another. And that it also allows a commissioner who got his nose out of joint for one reason or another to refuse to go to the meeting. And then you could never accomplish any public action. The whole thing would come to a grinding halt. You could have licenses sitting there waiting to be approved, the guy refuses to show up, your son. That should not be the case. Simple quorum should be enough. Page 4, a license required. I don't think you should be required. There's no public safety or public welfare being enhanced by licensing managers, trainers or judges. I think you should license the contestants because that requires a physical exam and they're not going to get in there and hurt them and be hurt by being unfit to fight. And I think you should obviously license referees because they are in charge of public safety. They are in charge of the safety of the fighters. He's responsible to see that those guys do not become unduly physically hurt. Attending physicians, I wondered about why are we going to license them again. Then it was pointed out to me that, well, you know, a certain kind of position that a fight would be totally, or perhaps somewhat irrelevant to the scene, to the thing at hand. And Dr. Fritz made a very interesting comment in the hearing that I agreed with, and that is that the physicians attending fights should at least have some neurological seminar or two by a neurologist so they kind of know for some of the signs to look for. Because, you know, a guy could be a general family practitioner and not know some of the signs, and not be familiar with some of the signs of the physical blow. So I can go along with the attending physician. But I think it's unnecessary paperwork and expense to be licensing managers and trainers and and judges. On line 15, there's an important problem that needs to be solved. After the word commissioner on line 15, I would insert the words, or a designated representative. Problem is there is that, as in our promotion at the Sheraton Hotel, we fly a lot of boxers in from out of state. They get in just the night before the fight, and in some instances, maybe the day of the fight. They come in, they get the physical, they fill out the license application. And if they get a temporary license, then they can box. Well, if Mr. Armstrong or Dr. Caldwell are both out of town, and there's a designated representative cannot issue a temporary license, the guy can't fight. The designated representative should be allowed to issue that temporary license if the guy comes in and he passes his physical and meets the other requirements. But if guys are out of town, then everything comes to a grinding halt. Under license fees, again, I don't think you should be licensing managers and all those other people. And certainly, you shouldn't be doing $100. For example, I fly a guy up here out of Seattle. We pay him $50 a round, which, by the way, is the same thing that they're being paid in Las Vegas, Atlantic City, Chicago, Olympic Auditorium, Sheridan in Seattle, all over the United States are being paid $50 a round up to eight rounds. So we pay a guy $50 a round for 4 round fight at $200. All of a sudden, I'm getting his manager for $100 license. Well, yeah, I've got to come up here. And the promoter has to pay it. All of a sudden, I'm losing money. I went from a $300 profit to $200 on one manager. And it's just another way of crippling me or canceling the whole boxing profession in Alaska. Sometimes I have to wonder, like Dr. Caldwell did at his public testimony, if there's not a hidden agenda in all this effort, really, to just abolish boxing. Certainly hope that isn't the case. On page 5, on line 11, which says at least 18 years of age, we can live with that, of course, but we think it ought to be 16. You know, if the guy's guardian or parent says, hey, he's 16 years old, this kid's tough, he's fought everybody, he can fight the amateurs, and because of the small population in Alaska, he's beat up on everybody, he might as well turn pro, then why not allow him to do that? I might add that several of the fighters that we could be bringing up here from the lower 48 are 16, 17 years old. Section 5 on the same page, right below that, on substitutions, line 13 through 16, says the substitute approved by the commissioner supervising the contest or the designated representative. I really don't have a philosophical problem with that, but there's a specific one. That is, we have a fight set, and they gotta get these hand ropes, like Tommy Hearns, or Jerry Cooney breaks a thumb, or, Boom Boom Mancini, broke a collarbone, and so if there's something happens at the last minute, I call up Joe Armstrong, or Dr. Caldwell, or another commissioner, and say, hey, this has happened. I got a substitute. His name is Manuel Flores from San Antonio. Will you approve him? Well, what if they say, who the hell is Manuel Flores? I don't know Manuel Flores. Why should I approve him? Then I go, then I'm stuck. And then I can't have the main event. I can't have a fight. They don't know who the guy is. How can I find out in 2 days or one day? So you create a situation there, which, if the commissioner's a great guy, you say, I'll trust you, I'll go for it. If it doesn't work, the people won't buy tickets to your next fight, so you're the one that suffers. But according to this law, if the guy refuses, then you can't have the fight. And there's nothing that says he has to go along. What do I do? Go to court? I don't know. That's a very dangerous thing. And all it would take is the appointment of a commissioner in an area who secretly doesn't like boxing. And there you go. You shut it down. On page 6, the next... on page 6, the top of the page, on CAT scan, the requirement for a CAT scan every 150 rounds is great. We require that in the Alaska Boxing Association already. We require it among fighters who fight for the 4800 Corporation. We think that to require a CAT scan after one knockdown is a bit excessive. We would prefer what other states require. That is that after the first knockout, there's a 30-day suspension, or 45, I even take 45 days in Illinois, 45-day suspension. After the second knockout, there's a 90-day suspension, and then your CAT scan is required. But to require a CAT scan, which is going to cost the poor boxer gets in there and he's fighting for $300, he He gets knocked out, which embarrasses him. Now you're going to take his $300 from the CAT scan. And I think that's excessive. I think after the first knockout, a 45-day suspension is fine. After the second knockout, there should be a 90-day suspension and then the CAT scan. And I think that's a lot fairer to the boxers. On medical personnel required, obviously there should be a physician there. We don't have a particular problem with that, although I think many instances of paramedics would do just fine. But we go along with attending physician at our fights. However, the line that says the attending physician has the authority and duty to stop a contest when it's his opinion would be dangerous for it to continue. There's a minor technical problem in that. That is that he may think it's time to stop the contest, but he's not really sure. He's sitting in the blue corner and all the action is taking place in the red corner. What he should do is have the authority to call the referee over for a consultation, confer with the referee, and then stop the fight. I don't know a single referee that would overrule a doctor. I've refereed 1,000 fights. If I was fighting in a fight and the doctor said, you better stop it, and the referee said no, I immediately would fall down and grab the back of my neck and sue the referee for everything he ever had. The liability on the referee for allowing the fight to continue after the doctor said stop it would just be immense. But you should, you know, the way this is written, a doctor could be stopping the fight from clear across the ring without having any idea what's going on. There should be a period of consultation with the referee, then if he believes it's necessary to stop it, it could be stopped. We have no problems with the notification, cancellation, and all of that. On the statement of the contest, at least 14 days before a contest, and so on, that's fine, depending on how the commission would decide to define the main event. The main event is defined as a major fight of 10 rounds or more that is being advertised as the main event, and it is the major part of the drawing card, then this bill makes some sense. If you're just going to call the last fight of the night the main event, it doesn't make any sense at all, because currently, it's a lot of the club boxing in the state, there is no main event. There's just a series of fights, and they're all equally the same. One's first and one's last. You don't know, it's impossible to tell who's going to, all the fighters are going to be in any particular fight 2 weeks away. You have guys get the flu. I just went through a whole list of things that have happened to famous boxers, Tommy Hearns, Ray Mancini, Jerry Cooney. It could happen to anybody, and if they were part of a show, you just don't always know who the people are. You do the best you can. I don't have any problem with telling the commission who you hope to have as the fighters, but you've got to have a reasonable substitution requirement then if that's the case. This bill, the way it is, this particular clause in this bill, by the way, will totally eliminate club boxing in Alaska. If you define the last fight of the night as the main event, it'll eliminate it, it'll stop it. Now, if that's the goal, and I often think that's what Representative Martin is after, if that's the goal, then this is the way to do it. If you don't want to eliminate professional boxing, you've got to be very careful, because that phrase right there will do it. And if you don't, and if, as far as my shows or the big shows, you know, where we know a month or 6 weeks in advance, although there's no direct impact on that, there is, because the training grounds for the big shows, the monthly shows, the Sullivan Arena shows, the training ground for those fights are the club boxing matches held at the Pines or held at the Fairgrounds in Fairbanks or held at the Armory in Juneau or held at the Kitsati Club in Sitka or held at the Rainbow down in Kenai or held at the Armory at Kodiak, all these places where these fights take place.
Yeah?
Yes.
I only got a couple more rounds.
Okay, I'll talk fast. Back to training grounds and the professional fights. All right, very quickly, as you're talking about something I'm concerned about, so I got a lot to say. The post-contest report, I don't know what you want that for. I mean, it's a whole lot of paper, and you're not going to collect taxes off of it, you're just going to stick it in the drawer. It totally doesn't make any sense. Under sham contest, I hope that doesn't include exhibition matches. For example, if we had Hector Camacho visiting up here and did an exhibition with one of our fighters, we hope that doesn't include that. On page 8, under effective licenses forfeiture, licensee is forever ineligible for any license. I don't think that's really what you intend. I mean, forever is an awful long time for an 18-year-old kid who didn't get his boxing license. Tyson, he's 45 years old, and he can't get a referee's license. And that's a bit much. An inapplicability of the chapter, you ought to add the word non-professional then or other professional athletic events. This chapter does address boxing only. Okay, I mean, the other thing is when this thing takes effect, if you do pass it and it takes effect immediately, what happens to all of us who've gotten licenses that are good all the way through 1984 now? I think if you're going to pass this thing, it ought to take effect January 1, 1985. Then I'll close by saying I think you ought to strip all the bill except line 19 on page 9, which says repeal. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions by the committee? Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may have the liberty, I would like to comment on a couple of statements that the gentleman said. And the reason why some of these sections are here, one of them, here's a fight promotion that got in a schedule. It was the big one in Alaska that lasted a minute and 45 seconds, Camacho and John Montes. And it was heavily promoted almost at the very last minute. And the commissioner, Carol Duffner, was here, knew that I was heavy on this. No one knew if they had licenses or anything. I called the commissioner, Mr. Trigg here. Mr. Trigg hardly knew anything about it before it was almost too late. I do know that none of the commissioners knew about it. And the commissioner that Ms. Duffner finally got a hold of was supposed to have been there that night, but after the fight itself, we found out that there was no commissioner. Now, Mr. McConkey said, oh, yes, there was a commissioner there. The answer was, if it was, introduce the guy and let the world know a commissioner was there, because there were comments made about the proper inspection of those professional boxers. Who knew who had what size gloves on, or even if they had anything in it? So it does show, even with the greatest boxers in the world coming here, that things can be pulled over to people's eyes and they're not feeling comfortable, because the commissioner, even though Mr. Duffner worked very hard to educate that person at the very last minute about boxing, he didn't evidently show up. Some say he was there, some said he wasn't. He wasn't introduced, we know that. Pertaining to the CAT scan, I'm pleased to see that Mr. McConkey has changed his mind quite a bit on that and realizes the importance of a CAT scan or the equivalent examination of thereof. So he does have a more open mind on the value of protecting the fighter's brain. In the last fight that we had, and again, I know that Mr. Trigg and Ms. Duffner can tell you, when this was promoted, the guy from Kodiak and the others there, it was the reporters that called me up and said, has any of these guys been licensed? Have you heard of them? I said, I don't even know what's going on. I didn't even know what the fight going on. But I made some inquiries too. Those people did not get a license until the reporters began calling around. And then other people got shook up. And then a guy from Kodiak evidently suddenly got a license and someone else. Mr. Trigg can give you probably information on that, how they instantly licensed a few people. This shows that we do need protection, not only of the consumers, but of the boxers themselves. Some of the statements that Mr. McConkey told me here showed me lack of interest of the individual contestant. And that's one of our major concerns, that the contestants are protected. Just one more statement. Mr. Armstrong mentioned that pre-professional. I wouldn't mind going two public members and two professional members, but in the House bill, it was asked by Mr. Don King of Nevada. It was highly recommended by Floyd Patterson, Commissioner of New Jersey, that one of the members of any commission be someone who represents the boxers themselves. They are the ones who are being used and victimized because they are not allowed to give their point of view. The fee schedules. In the past, there have been numerous situations in Alaska where whoever promoted X boxing event suddenly ran out, referees weren't paid, judges weren't paid, contestants weren't paid. Yes, getting the money ahead of the game pays, and it ensures that everything's above board. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Martin. Any further question by the committee? Thank you.
I might ask to make some more comments, Senator.
We have further testimony here, General. Do you stand by it, please? Carol?
My name is Carol Durfner, and I'm Special Staff Assistant to Governor Sheffield, and I work in the area of boards and commissions. I am here today to let you know that the governor does have an interest in this bill, and I need to explain to you why we have an interest in this bill. First, it has been made apparent to us that the existing statutes on the books that created and maintained the Athletic Commission create a liability for the state because they are woefully outmoded, they are outdated, they do not take into concern the contemporary nature of the athletic events and activities that are being promoted and developed in the state at this time. It's my understanding that they were written and not revised since 1959. If they were revised, there have been some minor revisions here and there. There has not been any funding made available by the legislature for the operations of the Athletic Commission for, what, since 1979, Harry? Since 1979. So that the function that is prescribed in the statutes is being carried out hit and miss with monies that are brought together from a variety of different sources. That by itself has created a liability for us also. If there are laws on the books that we must carry out, then we must obviously have the funds in order to do that. Otherwise, it increases our liability, it increases our exposure for liability. The governor is very concerned about the state's liability. He is concerned about the state's liability under the old statutes, and he is also concerned about the state's liability under these proposed statutes. The governor has been told by a variety of different constituents in the state that there is a health and public safety issue that is brewing out there with the increase in professional boxing matches and amateur boxing matches taking place in the state of Alaska. I do have to take exception with Mr. McConkie's statements earlier that the only one that appears to think there is a public safety issue is Representative Martin. That is simply not the case, at least as far as the governor is concerned. He has heard this from a variety of different sources. However, it's hard to gauge as to how much of a public safety issue there is, and certainly, in your wisdom, you will have to decide to what extent the state has to be concerned about that public safety issue, if indeed there is one. The governor is not at all in favor of regulating industries that don't wish to be regulated, and certainly he is not in favor of expanding regulations over industries unless there appeared to be some sort of a problem. He originally thought this year that in order to decrease or eliminate the state's liability with the old Athletic Commission statutes, that what we would do is send a bill down to the legislature by the governor that would repeal the statutes for the Alaska Athletic Commission. And that would have been the simplest and easiest thing for the governor to have done. Certainly would have eliminated the state's liability. We knew, of course, that there was a bill in the legislature, actually two of them at the time, by Senator Josephson and Representative Martin, to create a boxing commission. And to embodied in that bill was a provision for the repeal of the old athletic commission. We, after looking at a variety of different options, decided we would try to work with the legislators who were concerned about this issue on a bill that would accommodate our interest, the governor's interest, and seem to adequately reflect the needs of the boxing industry as well as the general public and the boxing contestants out there in the state. I purposely worked on this bill at the request of the governor, and I have worked closely with Joe Armstrong, who the governor appointed as the state athletic commissioner. That is a little bit of the history about why the governor is interested in this bill. As I said before, I don't think the governor is overly keen to regulate the boxing industry. He's overly keen to reduce the state's liability with the existing Athletic Commission statutes. It appears to us at this particular time there are a number of choices available that will help us out. One of them is to wipe out the old statutes totally, which means that nothing is done in terms of the regulation of athletic events or boxing events. One is to keep the old statutes and fund them. I know from trying to find appointees to the Athletic Commission that those statutes are woefully inadequate, and certainly we should not continue to operate under those statutes unless there's some revision done, which leads to the next choice, which is some sort of a comprehensive revision of the old statutes. Or we could pass this committee substitute, you guys could pass a committee substitute which repeals the old statute and provide adequate funding so that the new boxing commission could operate. Whatever it is that you choose to do, there is something that needs to be emphasized here, and we have brought Bill Mello from the Attorney General's office here today with us to elaborate on this if you indeed wish to ask him questions. If this bill is passed, in effect, The bill will transfer the liability for personal injury from the boxing community or the boxing profession, basically over to the state. Personal injuries, as we understand it, in this area are usually the kind of expensive personal injury cases in courtrooms. And under this kind of scenario, the state, of course, would probably be the most logical body to be able to pay those kinds of awards. And Mr. Mello, as I said, could elaborate on that a little more. We are extremely concerned, though, that we reduce the state's liability in whatever ways that we can. One of them is to have a law, a set of statutes that makes sense, workable, with enough money to fund the implementation of that, and also a set of regulations that are, again, workable. Now, pertaining specifically to this bill, I work on this bill from the point of view of the structure of the board and the operations of the board, and there are a couple points I wish to make here. The governor directed us to try to establish a framework here that was as minimal as possible and as efficient as possible. We echo Joe Armstrong's comments earlier. We would like to see two members of the boxing profession. We would not like to see a provision written in there particularly that says that one of those people has to be a representative of the boxing contestants or a boxing contestant themselves. I can tell you that that would be like finding needles in a haystack in a state when one considers the geographic balances and the ethnic balances and the gender balances and so forth that we have to deal with on a regular basis. That would make our work very difficult in the Office of Boards and Commissions. We also would very, very strongly like to see that the chairman of the Athletic Commission and the vice chairman of the, of the Boxing Commission, the vice chairman of the Boxing Commission be appointed by the governor, and we do this for a very specific reason. If substantive problems arise during the regulatory process and the implementation of the regulations, and if indeed the administration is charged to implement these statutes, the governor would like very much to be able to just reach right out and touch his chairman on the shoulder and say, take care of this, clean it up, what's the problem? And it is very obvious to us that the possibility of the governor being able to do that is certainly very much increased if the chairman is his own appointee. Yeah. Also, we are somewhat concerned about the rather fluid nature of the boxing industry in the state of Alaska and the players in the boxing industry, and the possibility of kind of a constant turnover amongst the industry members of the commission, which would certainly be a problem if indeed the chairman was an industry representative and there was that kind of turnover. Basically, to sum it up, our major concern at this particular point is the repeal of the old Athletic Commission statutes coupled with your analysis that there is indeed a public safety issue here that can be addressed by the creation of a boxing commission. We are not opposed to the creation of a boxing commission. A number of people have told us this is the answer to a number of problems. But we are very much concerned about the state's liability. And I would suggest that Bill Mello might be able to speak to that one a little bit better. Any questions?
Thank you, Carol. I have a couple relative to the cost of the implementation of this bill. Would the governor prefer that it be self-sustaining? The fees would be offset by the...
Yes, indeed, the fees are to be offset by, if the cost of the thing were to be offset by the fees, then it's obvious that the fee structure listed in the bill would have to be increased substantially.
Is that what the governor prefers?
Well, the governor would like to see more program receipts and fees raised to offset the cost of all of these licensing and regulatory boards. At this particular time, we do not even know what the possibility of revenues are from the boxing industry because I do not believe anybody's done an accurate projection of that. We do know what the cost will be to the operations of this. And the fees, as in this bill, certainly wouldn't cover it.
Revenues report says $550 last year.
Mr. Chairman, it's $1,000 this year. There was approximately 20 different licensees and two promoters and one manager. The current fee structure added up to $1,000.
We're projecting in its first year of operation, it will cost us $92,800 to operate. $92,800. That's the cost of licensing. That's the cost of regulation development. The cost of a number of other things for its first year startup. And the major cost, of course, is going to be regulation development. I have one further comment, which is, if in your wisdom you choose in the legislative branch not to pass this bill, the governor would seriously ask you to consider actively the possibility of repealing the statutes on the books of the old athletic commission. That means, of course, that there would be nothing left in terms of the regulation and licensing of athletic events, but that certainly will eliminate the state's liability at this particular time. And then we could perhaps take another look at the next legislature.
Would you request the governor to submit a bill to the Senate doing that?
To repeal?
Right.
We can certainly do that.
In this committee?
We can certainly do that.
Do that, please. That's what we're doing. Okay. Mr. Miller, I want to address this issue. We only have a few minutes. I'm sorry that for those of you who are waiting for other bills, I did not realize that this would consume so much time. I was warned, but I didn't believe it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be real brief. My name is Bill Mello. I'm an Assistant Attorney General working for the Department of Law. The work that I do is primarily personal injury defense for the state of Alaska. So I get involved in a lot of lawsuits where persons sue the state for personal injuries. There's nothing magic about what I have to say. It's just basically that when you have duties that are imposed by a statute on the state, failure to carry through on those kinds of duties do create liability exposure to the state. We do have legislation which is on the books now, which imposes some types of duties. I haven't actually reviewed them for some time, but we do have obligations to provide physicians, I believe, that matches to license fights to see to it that the commissioner is present. We haven't had, my experience in the past 6 years, I believe we've had one lawsuit involving a boxing match, and it actually, as I believe as Mr. McConaughey mentioned, a situation in which a commissioner did not appear and a match had to be canceled. So the exposure to the state was for the loss of revenue that fight. There is a potential of liability exposure because the state does not carry through on duties that are imposed upon it, especially if you have a commission which is operating it on a voluntary type of basis and doing the best they can, but they simply can't stretch themselves out to cover the matches. So you need to either, the best way to approach the liability issue is either to fund your program that you have that is required by the statute or to eliminate the statute. Now, as far as the bill that is proposed, of course, it carries with it liability exposure to the state. If the state has to assure that persons who are not intoxicated, for example, do not fight, then if a person does somehow end up being injured and there's indication the person was intoxicated, the state has a liability exposure. That, of course, is simply a matter of assessing the need and desirability of legislation and always being aware that it carries with it some liability exposure. I have no further comments, glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions by the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any further testimony on House Bill 241?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bill McConkie. I have one final jab.
Lightning jab. Go ahead.
The governor's representative said that the governor did not wish to regulate an industry that did not want to be regulated. I can speak for almost every single professional boxer licensed in the state, most of the promoters, the licensed referees. In effect, I can speak for the boxing industry. We don't want to be regulated by the state. We will regulate ourselves. We will do it well. I will even make Commissioner Armstrong a member of our board, and he can be chairman of it as he wants, but we don't need to send the state a $57,000 bill. The second point, if we have to pay for $57,000 out of fees, there will be no professional boxing in Alaska.
Can you guarantee you won't get the state a black eye?
I don't hit that hard, sir, not anymore.
Thank you very much. As you can see, there's a multitude. I certainly agree with Senator Page on who set fire to this meeting that there's a multitude of problems that exist with this particular bill. I don't think we're going to have time to resolve them all this session. I'm not all that much interested in myself.
I am.
And I would certainly wish that the governor would send a bill down to repeal at least a portion of this so we can do something that's going to
address all these issues. It's too damn expensive to start with, I think. And they don't want to be regulated, but there's certain need out there, which to avoid the type of press that we're getting, Representative Martin indicated. So I think, you know, these things have to be addressed at some time or another. But I think repealing that one section, the commission, Black Valley Commission, at least a step in that direction.
It takes care of our current liability, at least.
Right.
But that, of course, needs
to
be regulation.
I understand that.
Senator, you're being hailed.
Let it have their own way.
Joe Armstrong's coming.
Joe, go ahead.
I listened to Mr. McCarrick with a great deal of interest, and some of the things he made a point of were valid. However, you know, in the state, we're growing by leaps and bounds, and it doesn't mean that all of the professional boxing events are going to be held within the city of Anchorage. There's a real good possibility of boxing events being held in Fairbanks. I've received calls from people up there who are interested in doing some promoting. I've also talked to people who are interested in putting boxing matches on in Prudhoe Bay, and that type of thing. So I think regulations are necessary, and I for one, am not interested in putting the boxing industry out of business. I enjoy boxing. A lot of people may think that all I was ever interested in was baseball, but I had an adopted brother who fought in Madison Square Garden, and I was in his corner, so I do know a little bit about boxing. One of the points that Mr. McConkie made was the doctor stopping the fight. I would agree with him that a physician should go in the ring and take a look at the fighter who's gotten in trouble, and then between the two of them make a decision on whether to stop the fight or not. I wouldn't want to see a physician sitting at ringside without going in the ring and just saying stop the fight. I think that would be wrong. As far as what Bill has said, judges, now I had a request from some of the people who judge the fights here in Anchorage to include judges in the bill for licensing, and that's why they're in there. Timekeepers, I thought that when we had our original meeting down there, that we decided that it was not necessary to license timekeepers. And I noticed that's in the bill on line 20 on page 2. I thought we had agreed among the people who were at the meeting on the 10th of February that we would take that, forget about the timekeepers. However, I do feel that managers should be licensed, and the other one, seconds also. Those people should know something about the business. They certainly have that fire future in their hands, and perhaps they're the ones that should stop the fight by telling the referee that hey, this kid's had enough, forget it. On this, on page 3, they raised the point, at least one commissioner who's not on the profession has been in attendance at a meeting, an official action is taken. Well, if you leave the composure of the board to one physician and one from the public and three from the boxing profession, you know, you might have a problem trying to resolve something at a meeting. So that's why my suggestion was to have at least have one and two and two. And therefore, in most cases, you'd always have somebody from the public there. You know, Alaska's growing. The boxing profession is growing. Bill had a sellout the last fight he had down here. And I might say that fight was, as I've said before, I thought was done very well. Dr. Caldwell and myself saw that the fees were all collected, the boxes were all examined, and the fight went real well. One other, I just want to make it feel clear. It's not my intention to try to put the boxing people out of business. I think it's real worthwhile, but I do think that we need some regulations. There are regulations, the boxing commissions, I think, are built only 32 states have boxing commissions. So I can see a reason why we should drag ourselves to fine. 45 days and 90 days on a knockout and the 90 days on the CAT scan. I don't see any big problem with that.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Bill, for your time. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, that's great.
Just time. I killed the whole thing. I don't mind that. I said that from the very beginning. You want the goddamn thing?
Thank you. You know all about boxing now.